Desire your prayers this morning. I have written on the board, through the fire. And I'll, maybe we'll have a show of hands. Who would like to walk through a fire? Anybody here this morning? Well, maybe if there's some conditions there. If you had fireproof clothing or a fireproof vehicle, you can drive through it or whatever. But no, the first thoughts of a fire is definitely not something we'd be interested in walking through. I could say all of us would have that thought. But the sad thing is, in reality, literally, there have been some folks that have dealt with fire, physical fire, and some through tragedy, accidents, persecution, so on and so forth. And it's a painful experience. I've not lost a home or a vehicle to a fire, but those that have, or a business or whatever the case is, it's devastating. I've spoke with folks that have experienced it and even seen the aftermath, and it's really difficult. It's hard to imagine. Excuse me. And then there's those that have, throughout the ages, experienced perhaps, if you could say, through persecution. We've heard of those that were burned at the stake and maybe tortured in various means with fire. So, in general, fire is a repulsive thing. But when it's controlled and harnessed, fire or flames can actually be quite beneficial to all of us. For example, it may not be in a flame necessarily, but yet there is a spark. That's how all of us got here this morning, is the sparks in your little spark plugs in your vehicles. That's the start of a flame, okay? But beyond all of that, flames or fires, that's how a lot of people's houses are heated. So it's heat, it's warmth, it's light. Fire can also be, as mentioned earlier, a power source. Can also be used as protection. Those that have maybe camped outdoors, and I remember as a young boy camping out with some of my cousins and brothers, and that was a big thing. You definitely have your fire going at night, and that helps keep some of the unwanted critters, you know, from encroaching. But another side of it is fire is also used for refining. And that's a process that, in the literal sense, that's how a lot of your metal products that we are able to use today, whether it's our vehicles made of metal or tools or so on and so forth, that they refine the dross is burned off, the unwanted metals and materials are melted off, and the good stuff is left, and that's what they make the product with. So through refining and through the fire is another side of this, is growth. Now, my burden this morning is regarding that. But I want to share something of God's amazing creation that is only He could do something like this. So first, imagine for a moment standing in the path of a raging forest fire. So just use your imagination for a little bit. Standing in the path of, and I've never been faced with that before, but I could, again, only imagine how horrifying that would be. That maybe you're surrounded or it's just blowing at you at a rapid speed and you're like, you're just standing there. But imagine if you're standing there and you see the raging fire coming, you can feel the heat, smell the smoke, and maybe all these little live animals are running past you in great haste trying to flee the flames. But imagine if you're standing there and you can't move. You're helpless. You're standing there. Can't move, can't go anywhere. And you're seemingly doomed to destruction. Again, imagine all of that. Imagine it because imagine yourself being a tree that's standing there. Okay? Now, the interesting thing is the way God made, there's a number of ecosystems in nature, but a specific one I want to talk about this morning is regarding a particular tree called the lodgepole pine. Now, there's something very unique about these particular pine trees. They have these cones, or like little fruits, that inside these cones are the seeds for more little trees. But these cones are shrouded with a thick resin that keeps it all sealed. And so what happens is, when the fire comes, it actually burns the resin off of these cones, and they open up, and all these seeds of the trees are exposed and able to be scattered abroad, and new little saplings are growing within several weeks. You have these little green trees sprouting up. Yet the other trees are burned or charred. They're not destroyed, some of them. There's, you know, but just a bare tree standing there. But yet all these other little seeds have been scattered. And the only way they were able to come out of that little shell, that little cone, was through the heat of the fire. And there's other types of other grasses and shrubs and trees that have similar type properties. But this one is very unique in itself. And you think of that tree, it's helpless. It's just standing there, and the fire comes, and what looks like consumes it, but it actually burns the resin off. Well, I want to read a scripture in Isaiah 43, and we'll start with verse 1. Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 3. And just to preface this, these are some promises of the Lord giving to Israel, to the church. And what's amazing is this is 700 years before Christ. And yet it's pointing towards something amazing. And it's also pointing towards foreshadowing of some persecution, of Satan coming after the church and trying to destroy the church. And just like with Israel, many times the enemies have tried to come and destroy Israel. But God would deliver them. And we'll read here how God did this at times. So in Isaiah 43, start with verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. I love that part right there. Thou art mine. Again, speaking of the church, that's you and I. Thou art mine. In other words, you're special to me. I know exactly, if we could say it this way, we were speaking of the lodgepole pine. It's as if God knows exactly where we are planted. Okay? God knows where we're at. He knows our name. He gave those particular pine trees a name, if you can say it that way. He created them that specific to develop that way and to produce that way. He says, thou art mine. I've called thee by name. Verse 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. You notice in that scripture, the word through is mentioned three different times. You know what that tells me? That means God's not going to leave us in the midst of the floods, of the fires. God's not going to do that. These are promises to us. He says, when thou passest through, I will be with thee. So he's not saying he's not going to keep the floods or the fires from us, okay? But he's saying I'm going to go with you through those adverse times, okay? Well, another point to bring out in this is the word kindle. Excuse me, the word kindle towards the last says, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. The word kindle means to consume or to burn up. You know, back with, I was mentioned earlier, this lodgepole pine, the interesting thing about that is it doesn't burn the little cones or those seed pods. It doesn't consume and burn them up totally. The fire passes through. Now, there may be some, but the point is, most of them, they're just burned over and the resin's burned off and they open up. So that's the intent of this, is not to consume and burn up all the life there. It's to produce something more, a new life, all right? It's a revelation of the life within. That God, only God can produce that. Think about that. Can any one person go along and find one of these little seed pods, these little cones, and say, I'm going to make something and take that and just break it open and say, okay, now grow. We can't do that. But God, the way He created it, there's life inside there. But it took something to burn off what was keeping it captivated. All right? Keeping it prisoner, so to speak. And burn that resin off, and then it opens up. And new life. It's a revelation. And then there's growth. You see that? And so you think of, oh, well, that forest was burned. And oh, what a tragedy and a loss. Well, in a lot of senses, yes, that's true. But think of the new life and the growth that's going to follow after. Now, I know on a personal level, a couple of years ago, we took a trip out to Tennessee. And they had some terrible forest fires out there months prior to us arriving there. And you could see the devastation. I mean, and coming right up to the edge of some of the towns there, it would be quite an alarming experience to live through that. But we show up a few months later after the fact, and even at that time, it was springtime, but there was new growth popping up everywhere. And give it several years, and you won't be able to notice much difference. But yet, the folks out there living in that area, they wouldn't have chose that, okay? But yet, and you think of us in life, would we really choose to go through a fire on our own? No, but I want to say this. God knows how to get us to heaven. We don't have the privilege of, if we could say, cherry picking, the specific trials and tests, the fiery tests that we want to go through. Oh, you can try, but yet we don't have the wisdom that God has. We don't know how to get that true life within us that God can create in us and to reveal, all right, what's down inside there. God knows how to get that out of us. God knows how to help us to grow and mature to other levels that we never dreamed possible. That's the kind of God we serve this morning. Well, thinking of, I spoke earlier about a fire, a refiner's fire. There's a scripture, we won't turn to it, in Malachi, the third chapter, talks about God being like a refiner's fire, purging off the dross, the things that don't need to be there, that are a hindrance, all right, to the new life, to the new revelation God wants to give us. And in 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, there's some more scriptures talking about man's work being revealed and tried by fire. In other words, that's, again, to reveal what's on the inside, what's in your heart. That God is going to allow things for us to cross paths or to encounter various types of fiery tests, fiery trials. Though that's not what we just readily choose as soon as we get saved. Say, oh Lord, bring them on. Bring in all the fiery trials right now. I want them. That's not our natural. No, it's like we see the fire coming. We're like all the other animals. We want to run. Okay? We see a forest fire raging towards us. That's our natural instinct. And thinking of these thoughts this morning, there's some words of a gospel song I want to read. And this is just the chorus. The song is actually titled Through the Fire as well. And the chorus says this. He never promised that the cross would not get heavy. And the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered our victories without fighting. But he said help would always come in time. So just remember, when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says, give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up, and he will take you through the fire again. That's the God we serve this morning. And it makes me think of the story, and I want to read a few scriptures in this story. In Daniel, the third chapter, remember the story of the three Hebrew children. I'm just going to pick a few of these scriptures here this morning. Before we get started on this, I want us to consider when these three Hebrew children were chosen, along with Daniel, early on, to be of service to the king, I don't think they imagined for a moment that they would encounter a literal fiery furnace like they encountered. I don't believe that was the furthest thing from their mind, that they would have to endure such a thing. Because they were chosen. And the king, favor was given to them by the king because of their God-given intellect and their wisdom and their skills and all those things. And it was amazing. God was doing amazing things. But yet there came a time. And the king made a decree that you bow down to this image. And if you don't, we're going to throw you in the fiery furnace. And that leads us to the third chapter of Daniel. We'll start with verse 16. It says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. What courage. You know what that tells me? They had a relationship with God. You know, this also tells me they've already been through some other fiery trials prior to this. Even back at the beginning. But throughout, there was something that was growing within, all right? The relationship with the Lord. They had connection with God, okay? This was not just a haphazard incident. We are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. They were respectful. They weren't bashing the king. They weren't raging at the king. But they spoke with confidence. Not in themselves. They spoke with confidence in their God that had brought them to this point already. God had already performed some miracles to set them in this position. Because they weren't slaves and they weren't in prison. No. But they were servants here. And there was something. God had a plan for them, you see. Well, and it goes on, verse 18. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. So what they're saying is, it doesn't matter. Regardless, we're not going to bow down and worship this image. Because we're only to bow down to the one and true God. And they stood their ground. And they knew that God was able to deliver them. They didn't know how. Think about this. They'd never been in this situation before. Never, ever had they been in this situation before. It was new to them. Have you ever found yourself in a new fiery trial? They're like, I've never been here before. This is interesting. This is new. But you know, it didn't stop there. Let's read on and see what Nebuchadnezzar did. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Uh-oh, watch out. The king is mad. And believe me, the king has power, all right? He does. He could call anyone to be killed at any instant he called for him. But the king, it's interesting why he developed this procedure for a punishment. It was to make a grand public display, not only of the king's power, but how quickly he can take someone else's life out if they choose to oppose him. Does that sound like the devil? just being this big bully and puffing himself up to look like he's someone strong, and he is strong and mighty, but yet he's subject to God's power, okay? And that's what the king failed to acknowledge, was he was yet subject to a higher power than what he had. And he was seeking to destroy these three young men that were standing up for their God, not in a cocky, immature way. No, they found God to be faithful to them before, and they're saying, well, God, you're going to be faithful to us again. We're confident of that. And told that to the king's face. And the king was full of fury, it says. You ever seen the devil mad? Oh, yeah. When some souls get saved, or some miracles happen, or some chains fall off of someone's life, and they get the victory over something, the devil goes, ugh, I don't like this. And do you think the devil's just going to tuck his tail and run, say, okay, I give up? Oh, no. And King Nebuchadnezzar, let's read what he did. He therefore spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times more than before. Think about this, folks. 7 times hotter. Oh, yes. The devil doesn't like it when we try to stand up for the Lord. Not in our own strength, not to make a display, but saying, no, this is where I stand, devil. And the Lord's on my side. And I'm going to serve the Lord no matter what. And that's what they did. Their life was on the line. Literally. So it heated the furnace 7 times hotter. How they did that, I don't know. But it was raging. It was raging so much so. Of course, they bound the three Hebrew children. They bound these young men and threw them in the furnace. And the process of the soldiers throwing them in the furnace, those soldiers lost their lives. That's hot. And I, again, don't know how all that took place, but it happened. And so they throw them in. Verse 22, it says, these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. They were tied up, whether it's in front of them or behind them, however it was. And I'm sure their legs were bound too. That's why they fell. They just kind of boom, threw them in and just rolled, and saw all these the flames, and I don't know what type of wood or kindling they were using to create this massive fiery furnace. But it says they fell down bound. You know, I wonder what was going through their minds as they're being thrown through the air into the midst of this fiery furnace. I wonder what was going through these three young men's minds. Like, this is going to be interesting. How is this going to turn out? I'm sure they had some questions, but their faith didn't waver. You know, they could have, right as they were tying up their hands, I'm sure they were thinking this through, and they're probably feeling the heat from the furnace maybe 20 or 30 feet away. And they're feeling the heat from it, saying, guys, we really want to go through this? Yeah, let's do it. Okay, you know. And maybe they're halfway through getting tired. They're like, you know, they could have changed their minds. Maybe just one of them. Think about this, folks. You know, there's an underlying message here that these three, they stuck together. I believe they were encouraging one another, saying, you know what? God's going to do this for us, guys. Let's do this. All right? Okay. Tie us up. We're ready to be cast in. Let's see what God's going to do for us. Well, they fell down because they were tied up. They couldn't stand up. They just got thrown in there. But what happened? Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, he was astonished, and he rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered and said unto the king, true, O king, yes, we did. We threw three in there. All the guys that threw them in, they're perished, they're dead right there. But the three we threw in, that's where they're at. And he answered and said, lo, but no, wait, just a second. I see four men. loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like who? The Son of God. Now, there's several things in this verse I want to get out of this. First of all, they were loose, and there was four of them. We threw in three. How did the mathematics work here? How'd that fourth man get in there? You know, that same question can be asked of Satan when we're in the midst of our fiery trial. Satan could be walking by and saying, hey, now I've put this on you, and now what's going on here? There's someone else involved here, and you're loose and you're walking around. The devil's going, how did this happen? He forgot there's a higher power. Well, the flames burnt off their bounds. However it was they were tied, chained, rope, whatever, it didn't matter. It burned them off. And they were loosed and they were walking around. You know, just like that pine tree and that little cone that had the seeds, it had to have the fire to burn off the resin, for something new to be revealed. And you know what was revealed here to King Nebuchadnezzar? He saw Jesus that day. And he knew who he was. He said, the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. There was a revelation going on, a divine revelation. But it took the fire to make that happen. You know, God wants to do that for each and every one of us. To walk us through the fire, not to forsake us, but to walk us through the fire and to burn off those things that hinder our growth, our development, the new life, the new revelations that God wants to do in us and through us. And it's not only for our benefit, it's for others too. Let's read and see what happens here. Verse 27, and the princes and governors and captains and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men. They're like, whoa, wait. This caused a big ripple effect in all the elites of the kingdom. And the king's saying, hey, something's going on here. There was three men. It should have been just one or two or zero left. But now there's four. Math went the other direction here. Multiplied. All right. Now there's four in there. And they're walking around. And they all came, they wanted to see these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power. You know, that's the whole point of this. God's design is not to destroy us or crush us. It's to purge us. It's to perfect us. It's to develop us into a new creature. All right? Something useful in His hands, in His kingdom. Well, he saw these men upon whom the fire had no power, nor was there an hair on their head singed. That's impossible. Physically. But who created physics? Who created nature itself? God did. And he said, in this fire, there's nothing going to harm or touch even the hairs. I mean, think about this, folks. You ladies, sisters that cook, and those of us guys that grill, you know, how many times have we got the hairs singed off of our hands or even our eyelashes? Oops. Yeah, don't play with fire, folks. But seriously, things can happen. Like, it doesn't take but just split second, and those hairs are just melted away, and it's a distinct, terrible smell. We all know what that smells like. But here it says, there was not a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. So not only hairs, no, you know, the smell of burnt hair, but how about just the smell of smoke? It's a very strong smell. But there was none of those effects upon them. The only effect was their bounds were burned off. And something new was revealed that day. a revelation of Jesus Christ, not just to the king, but to all his court and all the rest of the multitude there. And of course, yes, to the three Hebrew children. So what a divine, amazing revelation. But it could not take place until the fire came. Well, and how did this end? Nebuchadnezzar made a decree. Verse 29, therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God, he recognized God here, of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, shall be cut in pieces and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Thank the Lord. It's true. King Nebuchadnezzar spoke the truth that day. When it was finally revealed to him, again, through the fire, at the expense of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but yet, God got the glory through all of this. And how did this conclude with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Verse 30, it says, then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. So, yeah, they went through quite an experience there, didn't they? But was it in vain? No. There was a purpose for all of this. You know, God, he doesn't just walk through life himself haphazardly, bumping into things, knocking things over, and causing all kinds of accidents and chaos. No, that's not our God. Our God is a God of order. He knows how to order our lives, just like he ordered the creation of this world and the universe and our solar system to work so amazingly beautiful, and our bodies to be able to function like they do, and we don't have to tell our bodies to breathe or to do certain things and to pick up this cup of water. It's amazing how God does that. God's a God of order and of power and authority. And so, yes, he allowed them to be thrown in this fire, but not in vain. It was to bring glory to his name and to also, in the end, bring a revelation to everyone, including the three Hebrew children, and to promote the three Hebrew. You know what that tells me? There's some growth. There's a reward for being faithful to the Lord. They gained the victory, dear ones. And as the words of this song I read earlier, I want to read them again. He never promised that the cross would not get heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered our victories without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. Isn't that so true? God promised he would never leave us nor forsake us. And the scripture also says in Romans 8 and 28, all things work together for good. To them who are the called, and those that love the Lord, all right? It's not just to anyone else, but those that choose to love and live for the Lord, like the three Hebrew children, God was going to work all these things together for their good. And he did. He held true to that promise. Well, and then this part. So just remember, when you're standing in the valley of decision, again, just imagine when they were standing there and they were being tied up behind their backs. And they're standing there in the valley of decision. What are we going to do, guys? We're going to trust the Lord. We have full confidence God is able to bring us through this and deliver us. They stood there in that valley of decision and they made up their minds. And the adversary says, just give in. And in fact, I'm going to ramp up this fire 7 times hotter, Satan may say to us. We're going to make this one really sting. You know, the hotter and the bigger the battle, the bigger the victory, folks. We know that. We understand. The scriptures prove that. And we've seen those that have gone on before us, they've proved it too. Well, when the adversary says, just give in, it's over. No, just hold on. Our Lord will show up and he will take you through the fire again. He's like, devil, here you are again, but guess what? I'm gonna stand by these faithful young men. And I'm going to go right there with them. And the devil could not keep Jesus out of there. Satan, no doubt he's thinking, whoa, wait. Hey, no, this is not how I planned this. And I could just imagine Jesus going, yeah, but this is how I planned it. Because I knew you would come along and you were going to do this, but I had a plan. Excuse me. God had a plan there that day. For those three Hebrew children. You know, God has a plan for all of us too. He's not going to leave us in the midst of the fire just to be burned and consumed up. Because what did the scripture say back in Isaiah? The flame shall not kindle upon thee. In other words, it will not burn or consume us totally up. Okay? It's only going to burn off the things that are a hindrance to our growth and our progress and our walk with the Lord. And in the meantime, only God can do this, folks. As He so wonderfully demonstrated with that pine tree and its fruit and its seeds. But it's to bring new life within us. And that ultimately brings glory to God. And is that not why we are here today? That's why we live and breathe at His command. It's to glorify God in all the things that we say and do with our lives. Lord, help us to be a willing servant, to be a willing child of God, to trust Him come what may. And what did Job say? Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. Job was in the midst of the fire, folks. Several fires at once, in fact. And you could say maybe 77 times hotter. Can you imagine losing everything he did in such a short amount of time? But yet in the end, how did God reward him? Gave him twice as much. And what a divine revelation that Job got throughout the process of these fiery trials. He made up his mind, I'm going to trust you no matter what, Lord. And God honored that faith. God honored that trust. And returned all these things back to him double. You know, God has that same plan and desire for all of us. That we would grow in Him and demonstrate in our everyday lives. Because that's where we live, folks. We're not talking about some fairy tales and some little make-believe storybook. No, we're talking about real life. We're talking about real trials. We're talking about, as the song was saying, real crosses that get heavy to bear. And we get weary. And we struggle to stand up. And maybe we do stumble as we go into the furnace, but we can't help it. But we're not giving up. It's as if we're laying there at the bottom of this fiery furnace saying, Lord, I'm still your child. And God says, I know. I know who bound you up. I know who threw you in here. I allowed it to happen for a reason, child. Now I have a plan for you. Chains, be loosed. Child, stand up and walk. And that's what they did. And they walked around glorifying and praising God and brought them out into a wealthy place. Dear ones, that's the plan. Through the fire, it's not to leave us there. It's to bring us across on the other side in a much better place, a place of victory, a place of growth, a place of divine and new revelation in the Lord. Pray for me. I'd be faithful to be a servant all the way.